This is an unusual moment because the subject material is inviting me into a thousand blind alleys, all of which I'm tempted to go up. You should be thankful this is me and not my father preaching to you today. In his church, they never had a clock on the wall, they had a calendar. So I'll do my best to avoid the blind alleys. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus was tempted as we are. I think we are inclined to turn Jesus into Superman. We don't think that he was really able to struggle in the way that you and I do. We think really that underneath that cloak was a big S. Let me say something that's very easy to misinterpret. This is one of my blind alleys. One of the mistakes of the church is, I think, that we need to worship Jesus less and follow him more. We've been so concerned with his status in a philosophical sense, and we've been ushered into what is a temptation and a blind alley whereby we think that if we sing the right songs and are careful to believe the right cognitive propositions about who Jesus was, his nature and all of that stuff, and that if we memorize the right Bible verses, that's what's required of us. But you know, it's a smoke screen because Jesus is nothing other than our trailblazer. If you want to know how to live, live like Jesus. We're meant to follow him. And in some ways, one of the best ways not to follow him is to worship him. There'll be a heretic fire afterwards, just down. Isn't it interesting that one of the ways in which Jesus is tempted is by quoting the Bible? And something that I don't particularly want to address, but it's just on my heart because of the week we're in, is what can you say after George Pell in the church? It's been a week of such incredible sadness. And it is what it is. Every now and then, look, I guess what I want to say is you cannot create a separate group of human beings and say, well, that group has got it right and they are free of temptation and they will never fall over. Because the truth is, you could start a new church that says, we are the church of no corruption and we are the church of no sin, and I'll guarantee in no time at all, you'll have all the corruption and all the sin that you could possibly imagine. Because the line that divides good and evil doesn't run around this group or that group, but it runs through all of us. Yeah, you're quite right. Actually, you should say hello to Zena before the day's out. Zena's an old King's Cross girl, used to work at Callan Park, used to work at St. Vincent's, got a mile of stories. And she had to book out of a nursing home today, and she had to state who was her escort, and she said Ted Knopf's.
Yeah.
She signed out in the company of Mickey Mouse some weeks ago. I think she's a rebellious member of this nursing home. Yeah. We could always track you down in Canberra. We could have another Saint Interruptus on the way. How good would that be? Wouldn't that be lovely? So say hello to Zena. She loves to talk and she'd love to engage with you, and she's got lots of stories. So And she thinks one of the things that's most wrong about the world we're currently living in is we're all too afraid and we've lost our sense of humor. There's a lot of wisdom over here. What I think is interesting is that one of the temptations to Jesus comes via the Bible. Quotes the Bible. Here, Jesus, fall into this hole. I would summarize Jesus' temptations as approximately, you can satisfy yourself through shortcuts. You can be great. And God is more on your side than anybody else's. Each of those things will lead you into a deep, dark hole. The Bible can lead you astray just as easily as it can guide you onto a right path. I'm pushing my luck. You can justify almost anything via the Bible. I was reading of a bishop who who was cranky that a man read the Bible and declared that infant baptism was wrong, but we should be baptized as adults. So that bishop attached one arm of this man to a pole, and it was a short chain, about 3 feet, and then set a fire round him so that he had the pleasure of watching the guy running around before he dropped. What was that man's sin? Well, he read the Bible and thought infant baptism was wrong. You should be baptized as a knowing adult. Well, that's worthwhile, isn't it? That's worth burning somebody over. It was a frequent occurrence in those days that if you were caught saying something that was considered not biblically correct, that if you fell into the hands of a Catholic authority, they'd cut your tongue out. Just cut it out. It was common. It happened thousands of times. But if you fell into the hands of Lutheran authorities and they also agreed that what you said was not biblical, they'd just cut a big hole in your tongue. Much more merciful. I could tell you, but it won't edify you, so I'll hold back a little. There is nothing that ISIS has dreamed up in recent days, nothing, that Christians haven't done against Christians for hundreds of years. There was a Baptist fellow who was in charge of this particular community, and one of his Baptist congregants brought his wife to him and said, "This woman refused to have sex with me." And the Baptist minister picked up a sword and lopped her head clean off. It's everywhere in history. And everywhere you need to understand that all these groups were using the Bible as their justification. It was arguments about the Bible. Now there's been lots of Christian groups who've justified polygamy in the Bible because the ancient saints in the Old Testament had multiple wives, so we can too. You can justify slavery out of the Bible. You can do all sorts of things in the Bible. And there is nothing much more dangerous than somebody who's got a Bible in their hands and believes that God is more on their side than everybody else's. There are lots of psalms that talk about pick up the sword and drive out the ungodly from among you. These people who did these horrendous things quoted the Bible. And so I would say to you and me in this moment and in our day, let's not ask what's biblical when we seek to sort our way and find our way. Let's ask, is it Christ-like? Ask yourself, would Jesus go this path or not? And ask that question before you ask, is it biblical? Because we have a history of thousands of years. The more I become a student of history, the worse it gets. There is no room for us to be arrogant at all. Luther thought the Bible, he said, that was like a sheath in which the sword was put. But the sword itself was the Holy Spirit who lived among us. So look, I guess what I'm trying to say is, we can't invent for ourselves a church which will be free of error. We can't invent for ourselves a community of people who will be distanced from all the frailties that happen in common to humanity. I think it's better that we should own it and feel the pain of it. Feeling the pain of what George Pell has done and brought shame on us all, we should feel that pain, because it's because we are a collection of fallen people who believe that sin should be named and that new life is always available. One of our things on the wall says, there is no hole so deep that God is not already at the bottom of it. I hope that George Pell finds in his cell God. That little lady that John spoke about, I remember her years when she was working these streets, and she was in a terrible grip of drugs, and she had a baby, and everybody wondered how well the baby was being cared for. She was skin and bones, like addicts usually are. And if you could take a snapshot and call it the whole movie at that time, you would condemn this girl and say she's as lost can get. And let me tell you that today she is the most vivacious woman. She's running her own business. She is not problem free, but my God, when she walks in, life comes into the room. She brings the oxygen with her. She is an absolute inspiration. It's wrong for us, for any of us, to take a snapshot of somebody and call it the whole movie. If you could see the whole movie, what you would have is compassion. But we rarely see the whole movie. So how do we move forward as a community? I hope we move forward as a community that doesn't feel above anybody. What a wonderful thing. I wasn't there in the night when Lizzie said, when I walked from that alleyway to here is the one place I didn't feel judged. That should go up and be framed somewhere. Oh my God. Let's guard that. And when we want to find our way through an ethical issue, let's ask one another, is that Christ-like? That's a better question than, is it biblical? Is that enough? It would have been better if that wasn't recorded. Thank you, Zena, darling. You know, Jesus knew full well the weakness of his disciples. And on that night before he was betrayed, he broke bread with them and he said, you guys are going to need food for the journey. This is going to get rough. And I suspect that you will fall. And most of them did, one way or another. But he said, take this bread and eat it. This is my body given for you. Let us together be in such union that what hurts God hurts us, and what causes God to laugh makes us laugh. That because Jesus showed us that if God is my Father, then I am a son, a nothing less than, nothing more than a son. Let's, for us, be free of the shortcuts to satisfaction. Let's be free of thinking God is more specially on our side than anybody else's. And let's be free of the need to be great, because to be a child of the Most High is enough. Is enough. You're a child of the Most High. Frailties and all.